This fall, Seattle voters decide whether they want to publicly fund city council races. Proposition 1 would create a program to funnel public money to certain candidates who qualify. Prospective people have to attract at least $10 donations from 600 different Seattle residents. If they do that, they'll receive six public dollars for every dollar they raise, up to $210,000. The money would come from a small hike in property taxes, and its estimated cost of about $6 a year for property valued at $400,000. The idea behind Proposition 1 is that by public campaign finances, will make elections fairer and more diverse. Critics say that's not going to achieve what it promises. We're joined by both a supporter and an opponent to Proposition 1. On the yay side, Jim Street, former Seattle City Council member and judge. He supports Proposition 1 and, I believe, in general, public campaign financing, correct? Mm-hmm. Here to speak against the measure is Kirk Robbins, a longtime neighborhood activist, and he co-wrote the anti-Proposition 1 statement in the Voter's Guide. Thank you for coming in, both of you. I guess, Jim Street, I'll start with you. What do you hope Proposition 1 will do to change city council races?
Well, today, if you look at city council races, what you find is that about 50% of the money that goes to a city council race comes either from outside the city of Seattle or from downtown Seattle. The downtown folks are really businesses. They're not residents. So essentially, 50% is coming from folks who are not necessarily residents of Seattle. And what does that mean?
Exactly.
What it means is that private contributors are really determining what we're going to hear about different candidates. They're going to decide who they put their money on, and that's going to determine how much money a candidate has and what we as voters get to hear about it.
So you think Proposition 1 would give us a different slate of candidates to choose from?
I think it's regardless of the slate, it means that whoever runs no longer has to depend on private contributions. For as little as $35,000, you can get enough money from this system to really do a citywide campaign that works. And that's what's critical. Even for incumbents, when they get elected, the question is, what are they thinking about the next election in terms of where they're going to get their money? And under private funding, they're worried about that in terms of special interest.
Jim Street is a supporter of Proposition 1 in Seattle. Kirk Robbins, that sounds like it makes sense to me. Why don't you support Prop 1?
I'm in general skeptical about having the government involving itself in people's political decisions. And I think in this case, I think this is a false hope. There's already a federal election system involving checkoffs on tax forms for president. And it has not by any means eliminated or even reduced the role of big money at the federal level. Now successful candidates don't take it because the limits are set so low.
So, Kirk, let me take a step back. Would you agree with Jim Street that big money influencing races is not something that we necessarily want?
I think it's a problem. I don't think this is a solution.
Okay. Is there a better idea that you have?
I'm not sure there are any ideas that are constitutional in this way. I think for me the better solution is the district races where the campaigns are cheaper because you have fewer constituents. You have 1/7 the size of this one. You'll be smaller than a state legislative district.
And that's Charter Amendment 19 that's
right.
Going to be on the ballot as well. So Jim Street, if Charter Amendment 19 were to pass along with Proposition 1, would we need Prop 1?
Well, I think to begin with, just looking at Charter Amendment 19 by itself, the fact that it's going to be district-based elections is not even going to come close to eliminating private money. And in fact, the same special interests that contribute citywide are to contribute at the district level. Public funding will be far more effective than district elections in reducing the reliance on private dollars. And the fundamental question is, who owns our elections? Is it the private contributor? Or is it the public? Who's the board of directors of Seattle? It's our elections. We should control the rules.
A lot of people agree with you. But then some people point out that one thing that happens when we put a property tax on homeowners to pay for this is that, you know, my money might go, for example, to a candidate. Well, it goes to everybody, but maybe I don't agree with all those candidates. I don't want to give them all money.
Well, that is the most common objection, that I don't want to contribute to a campaign I don't support. And I think there's two things to look at there. One, for the average household, it's going to be 50 cents per month. For the average renter, 25 cents a month. For the person who contributes lots of campaigns, you might have a $1 million house, it would be about $1.40 per month. So the amount, because we're all contributing, the amount that anybody has to contribute is very small. So why is it the folks who say that are really objecting? What they're really objecting is, under the current system, because I have money, I have more influence over elections than people who vote.
We're talking about Seattle Proposition 1, Jim Streets in favor, also with us Kirk Robbins, who's opposed to it. This makes sense to me. I mean, we're talking about, you talked, Kirk, just a second ago about district-wide races, and you agree that we want to get big money out of influencing who runs for office.
Wouldn't it be nice?
It would be.
Fat chance.
So you're just being cynical. You don't even think, that's possible.
I don't think it is. There's a state Senate race going on right now in Gig Harbor. There are $2 million. Has been donated to these two candidates out there. I don't know what percent of them live in the district. That's not going to be covered by this sort of thing. If big money wants to influence a race, big money can do it. Well, they can do it with independent expenditures. In this system, because of Supreme Court rulings, there's no way that you can inhibit an individual who wants to spend vast amounts of money supporting a political campaign. Both candidates for mayor are getting huge amounts of money.
And this is, Jim Street, this is also a voluntary. People don't have to sign up
if this passes.
So isn't that really, some people will be helped, but other people can ignore it and take more money?
The people who ignore it can take more money. And if they do under this law, and they actually raise more money than is permitted by the voluntary expenditure limit, then the folks that are taking the public money can also raise more money. So it tends to counter that.
There we are, back where we started.
No, we're not, because I think the difference is that even though you might have independent expenditures, what this does is says any viable, serious candidate is going to have enough money to run a decent campaign without depending on special interests.
There's another objection we have to this one, which is that the match rate is 6-1. When neighborhoods go out to improve their streets and like that, usually the reimbursement formula is 1-1 or 2-1 or 3-1. I don't know anybody who's getting a matching contribution of 6-1. This is the politicians doing it for themselves. Virtually the whole city council is supporting this, not as a way of changing the city council.
I think it's unanimously supported by the current city council.
8, I think.
We only have a little bit of time left, and I just have to talk logistics, Jim Street. If it passes, an estimated $2 million is expected to be raised the first year. Mm-hmm. But what if more candidates qualify for this money than the pot that we have?
Well, I think to begin with, if you actually consider how many are actually likely to qualify, they will need significantly less than $2 million a year. And I mean, if you look at the number of likely $610 candidates, so I don't think that's an issue. However, what the law says is if it turns out not to be an amount of money, they will prorate the public contribution order to use the exact money.
Jim Street, former Seattle City Council member and judge, supporting Seattle Proposition 1 and public campaign financing in general, speaking here against the measure. Kirk Robbins, a longtime Seattle neighborhood activist. He co-wrote the anti-Prop 1 statement in the Voters Guide. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.